It was 1776 when the founders signed the writ of independence from the Brit. It was revolution. Now an enemy from within would enslave us all again and deprive us of our rights in the Constitution. Restore the Republic. Wake up, it's time to understand. Restore the Republic. We're losing our freedom in the land.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Republic Information Call for all free state governors and free state executive and judicial branch officials. Today is October 15, 2014. I can't believe it's already the 15th. Time is just flying. I'm going to ask Jean Hurdler from Wisconsin if she would like to open our call with prayer. Can you hear me, Jean?
Yes. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Thank you. If you bow your heads with me. Father, we come before you. We honor you, Lord. We want to bless you. We praise you. We thank you that you involve yourselves and yourself in the affairs of men. We thank you, Father, for calling us to this station in life that we can serve you and your people. You're a God of order, and your government is established as you promised in the latter days. It shall increase and have no end. We bring you all glory, Father. All honor is yours. Thank you for your presence, Lord. We bless you. We invite your Holy Spirit to be present with us as we go forward. We pray all in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jane. Let's see here. I'm sorry, my computer's running a little bit slow. We'll just go ahead and start with the updates. And Speaker Rockwell, if you would like to go ahead and take the floor.
Sure. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the call. Updates are from the House. We went through a document that we've been going through for several weeks here now. The document is entitled What the Findings of Congress Has Found in Respect to the Terms of Senators and Representatives. And we went through that document, made some changes to it, and discussed it on the floor. And we'll again discuss it probably this coming week as well when we get together. And if you'd like to know what your at least House of Representatives is doing, we have what we call a gallery number that's tied to our call every Tuesday that you can hear what we're doing. You can't participate, of course, but you can definitely hear what we're doing. And I'll give you that number if you have your pen and paper in hand, that you can be an active listener in that. That phone number to get in is 712-432-0900, and the access code is 448229#, and that will allow you to listen in on what the House of Representatives is doing. And we also conduct education during our call as well. And the past probably 4 or 5 months, we've been doing education on the Constitution. And so we're in section 8 or 9, or starting that particular part. So if you want to learn more about the Constitution, again, tune into that number that I just gave you, and you'll be able to get educated on the Constitution as well. And I'll yield with that.
Thank you, Speaker Rockwell. I don't see anyone else from the Senate on the call. Vice President Owens, could you give us an update from the Senate, please?
Certainly. Senate is working on, continuing to work on documentation for the states. I know there's a committee right now working on the documentation for the states, the ad hoc committee. That's a joint committee between the House and the Senate. Also going through and just clarifying different documents and researching. A tremendous amount of research going on right now among the committees, and A lot of good work there within the committees taking place. And they meet, obviously, on a weekly basis. That call is not an open call. That is the business of the government on the Senate call. And so the doors to the Senate are typically closed. There are sessions where it is open if they're in joint session. The Senate's working hard to verify documentation and go through rules. There are several rules within different committees that need a lot of research, and they're working on those. And, of course, as you heard Speaker Rockwell, there's been working on some findings regarding senators and representatives, and I know they're working in conjunction with the House on that. I yield.
Thank you, Vice President Owens. Justice Smoak, you have a floor, sir, for updates.
Okay, can you hear me?
I can.
Well, thank you very much. Well, what we've been doing is going through the rules of the Supreme Court. We've got a lot of wonderful archivists in the Republic, and Senator LaRue has found some a treasure trove of du jour writings, and that's what we've been going through, the old rules of the court, and we're downloading all this, and actually we're making all this available for everyone on the justice call. So whenever it's over with, there'll be hundreds and hundreds of pages of de jure laws, forms, all kinds of information that the justices can have for their digital library. So it'll be very helpful, and it really gives some insight on, you know, what our founding fathers had in mind for our republic. And with that, I yield. Thank you.
Thank you, Justice Smoak. I'm going to turn it over to Governor Dean Henning and Lieutenant Governor James Carpenter now. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you, Governor.
Governor, again, I yield to you if you have an opening comment.
Well, not real prepared this evening for a lot, I guess. Definitely miss Governor Horton. Thank you for the updates, you folks. And I guess I sent out a letter in our state here this week, just basically to tell people not to panic about the Ebola thing that's starting in our country. I recommend take a look at some colloidal silver. I've been taking colloidal silver for about a year, and it really seems to get rid of and stop all bacteria that may enter your body. That's what I have at this point. Governor Carpenter, go ahead.
I'd also heard, Governor Henning, that massive doses of vitamin C they figured into that picture also. Have you heard anything about that?
I believe anything that will help your immune system. You just need to build your immune system up. And I know I've heard so many things like iodine, and but I've been partial to colloidal silver myself. It's an immune booster. And, of course, it comes in different parts per million. I'm using a 10 part per million, and it's a pharmaceutical surgical type water that it's suspended in, and the particles are real small. But it seems to have helped me. I fought a Lyme infection here last fall, and it got pretty serious over the winter. But I know I had to beg for the doxycycline from the doctors. Of course, the American Medical Association doesn't want to recognize that. And they only do two tests out of six different strains in the Lyme bacteria. But you always have to do a natural remedy after the pharmaceutical. Without that doxycycline, I don't think it would have improved as fast as it did. But And you have to definitely stay on some sort of a natural remedy. And I found sodium silvers to be very helpful. I hope I answered your question.
I'm sorry to hear that you're suffering from that malady. And you know, just pray and believe in healing for you. And that's tough. I had a friend that passed from Lyme's disease. And so I have a little understanding.
Thank you, sir. I'm in the fields a lot, in the woods, and of course, just a little tick can really take you down. Of course, then you fight with your doctor to just try to get the remedy. You know, my research showed that I just need that doxycycline, which kills the bacteria. They're little spirochetes that microscopic. They bore into your muscles and your tendons, and I know they can go after your heart and brain, and it was quite traumatic for me. I really thought at one point I wasn't going to get through this because I wasn't getting the help from the medical association. But I finally put my foot down, and they did give me something that I was requesting.
I wonder how black salve would work in a situation like that where you had a tick.
I didn't hear black staff. I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah, a lot of your health food stores, or you can buy it over the internet, and it's an ancient recipe, and what it is, it's a drawing salve.
Okay.
Lots of people use it for skin cancers. I got bit by two different spiders. One was a brown recluse, the other was a black widow, and it literally went and encapsulated all that stuff and then expelled it from my body and left a little hole there. But it was just baby skin pink. And so that stuff didn't get to spread throughout my system because I encapsulated it and got it out of there. So that black salve, if you're into natural stuff, that black salve has a lot of uses.
I'll have to do some research on that. Thank you.
Yeah, that came right from a top naturopath. They introduced me to that 30 years ago.
I had some.
This is Representative Rockwell.
Go ahead, Senator Rockwell.
Yes, talking about colloidal silver, you can actually make that yourself and don't have to go through any doctor or anything like that. All you need to do is get a couple of almost pure silver rods and connect it up to about a 30-volt DC power supply and some distilled water, and you can make your own within a couple of hours. So I just thought I'd throw that in there because that way you don't have to expend a lot of money to get it done. I've had one built now for about 4 years, and I still have used my original silver rods that I have, and I think I got I think it was 14 gauge silver rods. They're about 6 inches long each. Cost me back when I bought them probably $4 or $5. And then of course you got 9 volt batteries as well. But anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in there if somebody wanted to build that on their own. It's pretty simple. I yield.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that input. I did see that in my research that you could do that. But I felt more comfortable, I guess, purchasing it at a natural food store. Is somebody out there that said hello?
I think Dan had to take another call, and he might have said hello
in
the transfer. So I'm going to turn
the Q&A session started.
And that way, if anybody has any questions, make sure and press star 6-1 to get into the queue, and I yield.
Thank you, Brenda.
And we do have Justice Smoke. Go ahead.
I just like to say a few things about the previous conversation. Colloidal silver is very good. I have used it and made it myself. I have an emergency kit where it will run off of a car battery. And I've taught, as a matter of fact, I'm a retired biology, chemistry, and physics teacher, and I've studied about this quite a bit. I might be able to help some people out. All plant and animal cells have a true nucleus, and they're called eukaryotic cells. U means true, and karyos means a nucleus. Bacteria, on the other hand, are prokaryotic cells, which means before a nucleus. A bacteria does not have a true nucleus, and whenever silver particles are down to the, you know, the nano, 1×10⁻⁹ meters, it's very, very small. They're very, very small, and they become in a suspension in a fluid. When you drink this or take it in, what it does is it kills the harmful bacteria by interfering with the respiration. Now, so it's very good. The settlers used to throw a silver dollar in their milk bucket as they were crossing the West. And, of course, that's not good, too, because the silver back there is only 90%. But there was enough silver that would dissolve in the milk to keep the milk from spoiling for days and days. So colloidal silver is good for that. The only thing I was going to mention is that, of course, Ebola is a virus. Ebola is not caused from bacteria. So possibly the best thing to do would be to keep your immune system healthy, which would be some of the other things that other people have recommended. And for just from a personal note, I have not been sick in close to 2 years, not even with a cold, not with the flu, but I've been taking extra zinc. And you could buy it at any type of store, and many natural healing says that almost every time there's a cancer patient, he is deficient in zinc, and many of our foods are deficient or low in zinc. Zinc is very, very helpful to boost up the immune system, so that might be something else to keep in mind. And with that, I yield. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Smolka. That's very enlightening. Thank you for sharing your wisdom. I'm not sure where we should go from here, Lieutenant Governor Carpenter. I am distraught over what's going on with our friend Terry Trussell down in Florida. I know we've done some of those things here in Wisconsin in the years past, and you just got to have enforcement, and you really need, when you step into their sandbox, you really have to know what you're doing. Otherwise, they'll snare you and warehouse you somewhere. I know I'm saying prayers for Mr. Trussell.
Yeah, I think they really want to make an example out of him because he stood up and been so vocal, and we need to be praying for him for sure.
Absolutely. I don't know all the facts, but how I understand it is that when he went into the courts, his name was called by the judge, and he didn't answer two or three times, and then when he did stand up, he did not enter the bar, but by him not acknowledging, I guess, his full name, the judge issued a warrant. He was still standing there. And again, I don't have the facts on this. If anybody else can speak to that, I welcome your input. But yeah, I agree with you, Mr. Carpenter, is that they definitely don't want us standing up, and they don't want us to rock their boat because they will try to make an example out of us. So if you step into their sandbox, please know what you're doing.
Yeah. Lieutenant Governor Carpenter just dropped off, but I think he just rejoined us.
Yeah,
are you back, sir? Okay.
I'm back.
I believe you're correct in your facts. Governor Henning. You could hear it on the recording, and then we heard, we've talked to a couple people that have talked to people that were there. And in fact, our guest for Thursday night was a witness. He was sitting next to Terry. He is a radio show host. He does videos and tapings, and he was not allowed to take his equipment, anything, into the courtroom. And we saw there was some information that I was sent that specifically said, you know, you could bring recorders, you could, you know, I'm sorry, that the court would be, they would be recording in the court, but they didn't even record it in their own court. They absolutely wanted no recording whatsoever. And but someone was creative and was able to take in some kind of an audio recorder and did get capture it. And so that's what this guy had, the recording on his website. But he was stunned. He was absolutely stunned at what happened. And he'd heard about Admiralty Law, and I'm not an expert in it, but he heard about it, but he was absolutely stunned that he actually saw it and saw this injustice. So I think tomorrow's call will be a good call.
Thank you, Brenda, for that. I saw the recording that came on the email, but I hadn't had opportunity to listen to that yet. So I'll make sure I take time and be on the call tomorrow night, too, for we can hear this. Admiralty Law is, to me, is quite devious. You're operating under color. Is the queue open for anybody? Is anybody in the queue?
There's no one else in the queue at this time, Governor Henning.
This is a call for the governors. We welcome you and encourage you to step up and share your thoughts. Lieutenant Governor Carpenter, anything further in Colorado? What's going on with the grand juries out there?
Well, after our little setback here, they've kind of gone back in and regrouping and trying to figure out, you know, what was broke and what they need to do. And you know, I really try to keep an arm's length distance with these people because I don't want to invalidate their process in any way. And but yeah, I do get regular updates. So, you know, it's just back in the stew, and they're going to go back in and see what they can do again. This thing with Terry, you know, this may be an harbinger, but, you know, we can't give up the fight. You know, I do believe that God's going to, you know, provide a breakthrough for us. So it's not a matter of if, it's just when.
Absolutely. Thank you for that. Go ahead.
Speaking of that, I like to keep my eye on international events because they do influence us. And the BRICS alternative trading platform to go around the petrodollar, Russia announced that it was in place. And it looks like that world events are coming to a point of where something's going to have to give here, and I think it's going to be pretty soon. Not out of fear, just out of being aware of what's going on and continue to be in prayer.
Yeah, I agree with you. Somebody had sent me some video of God's Kingdom Ministries. There's a wonderful video on there talking about. They're actually saying some dates that are coming, like tomorrow, the 16th of October, is a spiritual date that things are supposed to start turning, or if not turn. Also, I watched Bob Jones. I'm not real familiar with this gentleman, but apparently he passed away in February, I believe, and then his wife. They actually had a video. His family were in the room with him, and she just shared this recently, where they were showing the clock was doing movements on its own, and it was pointing to like number eight, meaning, you know, October. I don't know if that's Hebrew. And they also said the 16th. So there's a couple different people that are confirming tomorrow is supposed to be interesting. So we just keep praying, you know, that God's hand is moving across the world, and which we see too, like you just shared with us, that things will change. We just stand for our Father, and that's what we're supposed to do here, to stand and occupy these seats until our Heavenly Father moves His hand and built up the Republic.
Well said. I agree 100%. Speaking of which, I haven't talked to my friend Drew Williamson for a week or so. Has anybody got a more recent update on Drew?
No, I've not heard anything for a little bit.
Yeah, there's another one that needs to be lifted up in prayer. He's not in a very good situation from what his conversation was with me. Mr. Butler, are you still on the call, sir?
Who was it? I'm sorry, Pete.
This is Jim Carpenter. Is Mr. Butler, is he still on the call?
Mr. Butler?
Yeah, Wade.
Oh, he's not on this call. He's not on this call.
Oh, I thought I heard him on earlier, so I thought maybe he was still on.
No, he's not on this call this evening.
Okay, I got my people confused there. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Okay. Speaking of him, though, you know, you're talking about spiritual significance of tomorrow. There was some, I need to go back and listen, you know, people can sense things right now. You can sense a lot going on, and, you know, a lot of us were thinking, well, there's a lot of oppression, and I'm sure there is that also, but someone made a point, I believe it was on the prayer call Monday evening, and talked about it's more like a pressure than an impression, and a pressure, and they were talking about a baby being born. And there's a heaviness, I think, on the land, and, you know, in the process of a birth, there's a lot of different things that happen. And so there was just, you know, descriptive things that were said in relation to where we are as like a spiritual birth happening. And I know this is, you know, it's a call here for government business, but at the same time, you know, I think everyone can sense that there's a lot going on, and, you know, we're just all thinking about a lot of things, and I'm glad that you were talking with your people in Wisconsin. You know, I think it's good that we talk with one another and reassuring them that, you know, not to fear, because there's nowhere you can go to hide from all this stuff, except my personal opinion to hide in the Lord. And so I just wanted to mention that about the pressure, because I can tell a lot of people feel that. You know, I feel it, and I can tell a lot of other people feel it also.
Yeah, I hear that the pastors down in Houston that are feeling that pressure a little more today, too.
I heard. Would you like to, I heard it briefly in the radio, would you like to tell us about that?
I heard a number of pastors had, Houston has a unique situation in that they have several mega churches, and they also have a lesbian lady for a mayor. And, of course, apparently, there's been some talk from the pulpit about the appropriateness of that scripturally. And so it came out in the internet
today, quoting some news sources, that several pastors down in the Houston area had been given court orders that they had to submit their sermons prior to preaching them if they touched on these subjects. And so there's a first for you.
Wow.
Brenda?
Wow. Yes.
What you were talking about was on the prayer call this last Monday.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with you. People really are, I gotta say, some of them they're starting to open up their eyes, and they're really looking for what's causing this feeling they're all going through right now. Years ago, I just woke up in the early 2011 into the Republic, and what I would share, my excitement about what I'm finding, and I figured everybody would want to know about this, how great this is. It's for Jesus and the people. It's we the people. And, a lot of people just look at you and they roll their eyes back then. But now, they're like staring at you and wanting to know. It's like you can plant seeds all over and they're going to grow. It's pretty exciting to be part of this right now. I'm humbled and honored. And I agree with you. People are feeling it.
I was making an car insurance payment this week, and this lady, identified herself as being from the great state of Texas, even though she lives up there in Colorado now. And so, I kind of directed the subject around a little bit, and so it was kind of her idea, It turned out, in her line of thinking, and I got to share the Republic and what was going on and different things with her, and she was just spellbound. And, I think we've got to quit being afraid. I know I was afraid in the beginning. I was afraid of being arrested. I was afraid of a lot of things. But I've come to understand that in this anointing and this covering that God has provided for those that he's called, we don't need to be afraid. We just need to be careful.
I agree with that. We're doing this peacefully and lawfully. Some of the folks around the nation have talked to some of the three-letter alphabet folks, and I know people in our state have too, and they had no problems, no issue. My son works for one of those three-letter alphabet. We have great talks about this, and he says that it's peaceful and lawful, so you have nothing to fear.